I want to, amen, minister a word, amen, encouraging, amen, to you, amen, as we know that God, amen, is a good shepherd, amen, and I want to talk about Jesus as our shepherd, amen, over our lives, amen, and before I start, amen, if you could just bear with me for a second, amen, I got this wonderful video, and I'm just going to show it real quick, and so it depicts kind of like what I want to be talking about, how Jesus calls out to us, amen, as we're his sheep, right, and we're following Jesus, and we kind of don't know, like, how this whole farming thing works out sometimes, and so if you would just turn your attention here, this is just a two-minute video, just a two-minute video of how this looks like. And so what it is just a two-minute video. There's people that are going to call out to the sheep, but the sheep don't listen to them. They only listen to the shepherd. The sheep knows their voice. So check out how this works, actually.
One more time.
Oh, what is it?
How the shepherd, in this case the farmer, how the sheep reacts to the voice, right? And so that's what I'd like to talk about this morning, man. I'm ministering out of the verse John 10:27, and it says this: Jesus said, "My sheep listens to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And it's no coincidence that you look at throughout the whole Bible in the Old Testament that Jesus actually comes from a lineage of shepherds. Abraham, the father of our faith, he was a shepherd. And then his son, Isaac, he was a shepherd as well. And then you look down to Jacob, you know, Isaac, Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's fourth son, Judah, which Jesus came out of. He's the lineage of Judah. He's often called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Judah was a shepherd. And then you look down further down in history, David being king. But before David was king, he was a shepherd, shepherding flock. You often know the famous story where David went to fight Goliath. Before he went to fight Goliath, he was taking care of the sheep. He was a shepherd. And so Jesus comes from this lineage of shepherds. But when he came on earth, we know that he never led physical sheep before. But he likened himself to the great shepherd of people. And we are likened to his sheep, that we listen to the voice of God. In Hebrews 13:20, it says, May the peace of God be brought up from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of our sheep, of the sheep. And so here Jesus is given the title the great shepherd. It's also Peter talks about he's Jesus being the shepherd of our souls. In 1 Peter 2:25 it says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of our souls." And Ezekiel also talks about in 34:31 it says, "My sheep, the shepherd of my pasture, are people, and I am your God." So here you get the very clear distinction of what he's talking about. He's not talking about a sheep like we know of, but people. He said, "I am your shepherd, and my people are my sheep. I am leading them somewhere. I am taking them somewhere." And God identifies his people who listens to him are his sheep. I want to talk about first following the voice of God. You know, we hear and you read the Old Testament, you know that there's prophets that heard the voice of God. We know Moses, he actually heard the voice of God verbatim, like clearly. And Jesus said, you know, "Moses, for I speak clearly, just as a friend, as a man speaks to his friend." But here today, it's not so prevalent that you hear God's voice. But you often hear the voice of God when you read the Word of God. He's reading to you. The Word of God is living. He speaks to you. And here in John 4, it says this, that he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Just like you saw in the video, we know God's voice. We follow what he says. We follow his commandments, his instructions. If you don't, you're not part of his sheep. You're not part of his flock. You're following some other voice. What the world says or what you're saying for your life. You're living your own life, or you're living what the world says that what to follow. You see here, sheep often don't know where to find good pastures. They don't know where to find water. They don't know where to find shelter. They need a leader. They need a shepherd to lead them to these places. And only the shepherd knows where all they can meet the needs. So the shepherd calls to them to give them food. The shepherd calls to them to show them where the drink is, where the water is, where the protection is. And this is how the relationship that how Jesus is talking about, following his voice, because he's the only one that can lead us to where he wants us to go. Not every prayer that you pray will be a yes. Not every prayer will be that God do this for me will be a yes, because Jesus is leading us. He's the shepherd. Sometimes he will say no. Will you listen to that no? Will you listen? Okay, God, I'm not going to do it because you said no. And you're leading me. I'm your shepherd. I'm following your voice. How can we hear God's voice today? By applying the Bible to our lives. When you read the Word of God, you can make it personal. What I mean by this is you take John 3:16. You know John 3:16 is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." But make it personal. You could take it like this. You could change the words up to make it personal. "For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that if I were to believe in him, I would not perish, but I will have everlasting life." When you speak God's word to your life personally, it changes. It has a different meaning. It makes it personal. It speaks a little bit different. Another way that you can hear God's voice is by prayer. Prayer is a discipline. Your flesh does not want you to pray. Your flesh would distract you. You go and try to pray and you start thinking about the dishes. You're gonna make prayer a priority, and then all of a sudden the kids start coming. No, you gotta discipline yourself. You gotta make a time and set a time in your life that I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna put the phone to the side and just pray. And then at the end of your prayer, what I often do is I lay in silence because I know God speaks. I don't, God doesn't take forever to speak. So you could wait there like 2 to 3 minutes. And that's it. The scripture talks about wait in the Lord. Wait on God. So you're just waiting there silently, just waiting if God would just speak for you at the end of your prayer time. I often do this, you know, just disciplining myself, waiting in silence on God if he were to speak to me. And there are times where he would. Not an audible voice, but through a thought. I listen to the Lord. The Holy Spirit can speak to you. Bear witness of what he's saying. If we're not following his voice daily or weekly, we will soon start following some other voice. You will soon start to follow maybe your own flesh or the enemy. He might speak to you and you can't discern the thought. Or maybe the world can pull on you. And often the world is work through your friends. Hey, come over here. Let's go party over here. Let's go drink up over here. Knowing it will lead you to temptation and to sin. Listen, John 10:27. It says this. My sheep listens to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Matthew 4:19, it says, come and follow me. This is where he's calling his people out to follow him. You're following somebody. The world, the people who are unsaved, they don't know Jesus. They're following the world. You're always following somebody. And if you know the world is evil. The world is under Satan's control. So in a sense, they're following Satan and their lifestyle and their decisions. Because we know the truth is lies in his word and lies in the Bible. And food in Israel can be often scarce for sheep. Over there on the other side of the world, you know, the Middle East is very dry. You know, you just know that. It's common sense. You know, it's very dry in Afghanistan and in all these areas. You can look in the world. It's very dry. It's very desert-like. And sometimes food can be very scarce. And shepherds sometimes have to lead their flock great distances just to give them food, just to find a green area, just to find a well. And we can go through dry seasons in our lives. But we have to trust God where he's leading us. You have to, if you're thirsty, you have to ask God, God, give me some living waters. It's okay. You know, God, my kids, man, they're hungry sometimes. They're like, Daddy, I'm hungry. You know, I'm like, go grab something to eat. You know, you know, but sometimes I have to make something for them. Like for Vincent, he can't do it. You know, I have to lead him. I have to make it for him. But I don't know unless he tells me sometimes. If you're hungry, ask for hidden manna. Ask for God, you know, God, show me something in your word that you never shown me. You know, sometimes when you find gold nuggets in God, you're like, wow, I never knew that. God gave you a revelation. It's like he opened your eyes and there's a joy. It's like trying a new food and you see a new scripture. You're like, whoa, and it speaks to you different. If you're feeling lost, you know, ask God for direction. Ask God, you know, to Lord, lead me where you want me to lead me. Listen, he speaks to his people. Call out to him because we are needy people. He's our source. And sheep also need food. And let me talk about the food that is there for the Christian. Food in the Bible often represents his word. That's how we get our food. That's how we get our nourishment. This is spiritual. And we are spiritual beings. We are made alive in Christ. In Matthew 4:4, it says this. Man, this is Jesus saying that man shall not live by bread alone. Talking about physical bread. He knows that you need physical bread. You know, he knows you need meat, you know, the fruits and things like that. And bread was a common food that, you know, it's like Asians, they often eat rice with their foods, you know, and things like that. And Mexicans eat rice and beans with their food and tortillas. There's usually common cultures you always eat something with everyday meal. And you often, and back in Israel, even today, they eat bread a lot. And so this is where he gets this phrase, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, mouth of God. And we know that the word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit through holy men. That's why you hear the common argument today, and it's by Satan. He's like, oh, the Bible is written by man, but of course it's written by man. Who else? It's not going to be written by donkeys. You know? Men write books. Monkeys don't write books. Men write books, but it was holy men that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we could trust in God's word because it was written by the Holy Spirit through holy men. And but here in this scripture, it tells us that, you know, you can't just live by physical food. You have to have spiritual food. You have to read the Word of God for your life. John 6:35, it says this: whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. The Word of God never gets old. It's the same Word of God that goes to generation to generation. It's this is the Word. I wish I had my Bible here, but I will hold it up. But, you know, there you go. Thank you, my brother, right there. You got the Bible. That's okay. Thank you. But it never gets old. It has 66 books in it. And sometimes you have to challenge yourself what the meaning is. When you read like the Job is one of the oldest book in the Bible. And if you read Job, sometimes you read like, what the heck are they talking about? Is this how they talked about? That as you read, it's like, is that how they really talk? But you can't really gain that much understanding unless you sit there and study it. You take some study. You know, there's good that you read in the Word, but you also have to study the Word. There's meaning behind God's Word. There's a hidden meaning behind the face layer of God's Word. And that takes time. That takes studying. Are you looking for food? Are you looking for real purpose in your life this morning? Are you looking for something worth living for? Something that's great and powerful? Amen. I tell you, it's live for Jesus. That Jesus will give you real purpose. He has life in Him. I encourage you, I got saved when I was 19 years old, and I never looked back. At 19, in my youth, in my prime, where I could have gone and waste my whole 20 years, my 20s, and drinking and partying and chasing girls. But no, I got saved, and I was hungry for God's Word. I made it in my purpose in my heart for the first year. I started reading God's Word. I wanted to read the whole Bible because I never read the whole Bible. Had you read the whole Bible before? Challenge yourself. Read the Old Testament and the New Testament. Usually how I do it, and this is how I do it, I read one chapter of the Old Testament and I read one chapter of the New Testament. So I'm getting the old and the new. You know, the old it has very much application to our lives. You hear great stories of God's faithfulness, of how great deliverance. You know, you hear the story of Esther, where one time where the whole God's people were about to be annihilated because their king made an order that on one specific day, all the Jews, all the race of the Jews were to be annihilated. But you read the story, you see the God's great deliverance came through by a woman, the queen, Esther. She went boldly before the king, where you're not supposed to go before the king unless you've been called. And she worked her faith out. In Psalms 23, verse 1 through 2, it says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Meaning that you shall not go lacking. You shall not go hungry. Because he says he'll make you lay down in green pastures. That means to eat. So we go to the Word of God for our food. We go to the Word of God when we're hungry. King David often referenced himself as this sheep. In Psalms 23. If you read Psalms 23, it's the most one of the famous psalms in the Bible. It's where you get the phrase of, I shall not walk through the valley of shadow of death. They often use that line in movies you often hear. It comes from the Bible. David said that. And David here referencing himself as a low, meek sheep. But we know that David was a king. But he had humility. You see, today in sports stars and in media today, you don't hear the greats calling it, I'm a sheep. No, they're like, I'm a lion. I'm King Kong. I'm out there doing it. You know, they're like, I'm the alpha predator. I'm the alpha, the wolf out there and stuff, you know. But Jesus referenced us as sheep to follow him, to walk in humbleness. Let me talk about the need for sheep to drink. And these are basic needs that, and remember, God's talking about us, that we need food, we need drink. In Psalms 23, it says this in verse 2, he leads me beside quiet waters. Quiet waters. This is not like, you know, like you're going through like a Niagara Falls, you can't drink that kind of water. No, but still waters, you know, where you can sit down and drink quietly. In dry seasons, where most water is found in Israel is in deep wells, sheep doesn't have the capability to get water for that. No, the shepherd has to get it. So we have to ask God for drink, for food. And usually water represents the Holy Spirit. Listen, we go through dry seasons. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. We need to ask God, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost every day. Fill me, Lord. When you walk out and bear fruit of the Holy Spirit, to bear fruit of kindness and stuff, we need the Holy Spirit in us. You go down, driving down in the morning to work, man. Somebody cut you off, man. You need the Holy Spirit to just forgive them. Move on. Don't let road rage get over you. Jesus is the only one who can give the Holy Spirit because it comes from Him. And not just the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is when I first heard tongues out there, and when I was a teenager, I think I was about 17 years old. I was in a Pentecostal church. I walked in and I was like, heard tongues speaking. I didn't know it was tongues at that time. I thought it was the Hebrew language. I was like, man, they're speaking the Hebrew language. That's pretty cool, you know? And then some guy interpreted it. I was like, oh, wow, they're interpreting in English. That's pretty cool. But, you know, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It gives you that boldness to go testify, to be a witness, to overcome fear. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. Oftentimes it comes by laying on hands, but not every time. Our brother Matt, man, I took him out to a first time to our mother church in Chula Vista to a prayer meeting. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't have to lay hands on him. He just asked for it. He got filled. Let's talk about protection. We know sheep needs drink. We know sheep needs water and food, but they also need protection. And we need to be protected as well, amen, from our enemies, amen. Psalms 23, the same psalm we're talking about, verse 4, it says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Let me ask you a question. What is the number one enemy of the sheep? The wolf. The wolf is the number one enemy of the sheep. They're completely helpless. You know sheep, they're defenseless. They don't have any kind of, they can't run fast. They can't, you know, they got no, like, you know, sword on them or anything. They don't got no sharp teeth. No, when they see a predator, they run away. They looking for a shepherd to help defend them. And the number one enemy in Israel for the sheep has always been the wolf. This savage creature, furious, hungry always for the sheep. And it's strange because sometimes you think about the gazelle. Gazelle is like a very fast deer. It's very swift, very fast, and very alert. But even the gazelle falls prey to the wolf sometimes. How much more is the sheep when they need a shepherd? Sheep doesn't have speed. They don't have no protection for themselves. So how are they protected? By the shepherd. The shepherd lays down their life. And oftentimes when wolf, they have a good sense of smell. When they smell the human or the man around the sheep, they don't attack. They run the other way. Because they know that the shepherd is more powerful. They immediately become afraid of the man. Let's think about our spiritual enemies. You know, we Christians, we have enemies. We have the devil, the world, and our flesh. And also spiritual beings that are out there to get us. We talked about put on the whole armor of God to fight against principalities and rulers of darkness. That they have no good intention for your life. They want you to fall. They want you to stay down. Not to live the victorious life. But we need protection. We could put on the armor of God. We can also ask for God's covering, His blood, to cover us, to cover your children, to cover your home. This is the concept of God where in Israel, in Exodus, where Moses told to sacrifice the lamb and put the blood of the lamb on your doorpost, where the angel of death will pass over you. It's a picture of God's blood covering us to protect us from our enemies. John 10:10 says this. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. to steal, kill, and destroy. What is it talking about? It's talking about life. It's the thief only comes to steal life, to kill life, to destroy life. And it's at nighttime where the demonic is mostly at work. It's usually at nighttime. I mean, they work in darkness. They like to work in secret. And you see, the wolf doesn't attack usually at the daytime. No, it uses the darkness, the nighttime, to make its attack. To have its covering that won't be so exposed. And then the sheep, usually for protection out there in the country field, what they'll do is they'll take the sheep. They'll put them in a sheep pen. This is a sheep pen is usually like a 5-foot wall that goes in either like a rectangle or a circle, but it only has a small opening, a narrow opening. And so the sheep will go through that and they'll be safe from the wolf. And oftentimes the shepherd will lay at the opening of the sheep pen, the door. That's why Jesus said, "I am the door," or "I am the gate." This is where we get our church name from. The only way through heaven is through Jesus. Jesus is the only one that has eternal life that can secure our souls for heaven and for Him. It only comes by one person, and through Jesus. He's our shepherd. Jesus said in John 7, it says, "I am the door for my sheep." Meaning He is the door to go through for His people. And today you often hear different religions. And it's very sad because it's the work of the enemy. It's the work of the enemy. Islam, I think it's part of the greatest religion out there, I think, in terms of population and faith, is more popular than Christians. It's about 1/3 of the world. But Islam, they believe that God has no son. But we know that God the Father does have a son, Jesus. And the only way to the Father is through Jesus. So they're living in this total doctrine of rejecting the Son. And they're brainwashed thinking that, you know, we're living in idolatry because we're serving multiple gods, but they don't understand that our God is one. They're one in nature. If God said, "I am one, my Father and I are one," who are we to argue that, "No, you are two"? We are no grounds to argue what God says. If He says there are one, He is one. But here you see a whole religion, they think that they were serving two gods because they only believe that Allah is only one God. You see how the enemy works? Jesus said, "I am the door. Whoever enters to me shall be saved." This is Jesus. He's the only one that we have salvation through. He's the only name that we have salvation through. It's not through Allah. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Mary. It's only through Jesus that we have salvation, that we all men can have salvation and be saved. The sheep has life with the shepherd, and just like the human soul has life with God through Jesus. Psalms 23 verse 5, it says this, "You anoint my head with oil." So an old practice back there in the ancient days, what they used to do with the sheep is when out there in the country field, they're exposed to flies and insects, right? And so what's one of the torments of sheep has is where the flies would lay their eggs inside their ears. And so what they will do is they anoint the sheep's head with oil as a layer of protection to prevent them. So with the flies, if they didn't do this, the flies and insects would lay their eggs inside their ears. And when they hatch, they'll go inside their brains and to provide like immense torment, and the sheep will go crazy. And so what they do is they anoint the sheep's head with oil. This is talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit over your life. We need the Holy Spirit to give us peace of mind. There's Christians out there that fight depression. There's Christians out there that fight fear and anxiety and unbelief. But we need the Holy Spirit to cover us and to help us to fight through these mind battles that we might have the victory. Asking God in your prayer life to cover you with anointing. I ask God to cover me. I believe in anointing the Holy Ghost. I believe I need the anointing. and you need the anointing. I want to talk about one last time about the lost sheep, though. The lost sheep is what God's after. That's who his heart beats after, the lost sheep. He knows that when we come to Christ, nothing can separate you from Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. But his heart is after, because there's millions and millions of people that are lost out there. And the lost sheep in Isaiah 53 verse 6, it says this. That we're all, every one of us, we're all like sheep that have gone astray. Each of us have gone their own way. This is talking about the soul that separates us from God, like sheep who've gone their own way. We know that sin separates, causes division. That's why Jesus said, in John 1:19, it says, confess your sins and he is faithful to forgive you. See, one of the things that happens when we sin, we get caught up in this guilt. We get caught up in this shame. And we don't go before God, just like Adam. Adam and Eve sinned, and guess what the first thing they did? They were hiding from God because shame covered them. And they saw themselves naked, and they started covering themselves with leaves because they were shameful. And Jesus said, who told you you were naked? Their eyes were opened. And here is a picture that we all have gone astray. You're not born saved. Nobody is born saved. You hear when you witness a lot, you know, like, oh, I've always been saved. No, you haven't. We all been lost. We all been living. We're all sinners. No one's, you know, righteous before God. We all have to find our way back to God, find our way back to the true shepherd who cares for our souls. How does this happen? How do we choose not to follow the shepherd, but instead of our own ways? You know, I was looking through this video as I showed, and I was looking through sheep, kind of getting a little some understanding, because I wasn't grown up on a farm. And I found this video where this sheep was going astray, away from the flock and away from the shepherd. And it was funny to me that the sheep even looked back and then looked again. It went forward. Listen, sheep are not as dumb as we think. They know. They know they're going that way. They know they need to stay next to the flock. They know they need to stay next to the shepherd. But the sheep here made a decision to go out in the country. And it's going to get lost. It's not going to find its way back to the flock unless the shepherd goes after the sheep. That's the only way that lost sheep can come back, if God goes after them. And if God's in you, you go after the lost sheep too, because you have a heart to for your family and your friends to come to know Jesus, because Jesus is the truth and the way and the life. Jesus has filled you. He has saved you. So now you go after them. God working in you. And you think out there in the country, in the desert area, you think they will die of hunger or thirst first, but no. The wolf gets them first. When the wolf wakes up in the evening, it smells sheep. And the wolf gets to the sheep before the hunger and the thirst gets to the sheep. It says that we're all gone like sheep that have gone astray. Ezekiel 34 says this, my people has become food for all the wild animals since there was no shepherd. You see, he's talking about they weren't getting feed the right word of God. So what was happening right when Jesus had to come down, what happened was there before in the Old Testament, they would teach out of the word of God, out of the first five books of the Bible. But what happened was now they made this party called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees made their own traditions and had their own laws. And they elevate that above God's word. And so they're teaching about the traditions, how to be righteous and how to be saved. You have to do all this instead of believing in God. And so here Jesus and God saying to Ezekiel, he said, my people has become food for the wild animals since they have no shepherd that will give them the right food, the right manna. Psalms 49, it says this, the fate of those who trust in themselves. They are like sheep destined to die. death will be their shepherd. That's a scary picture. You think about it. Death is leading them somewhere. To destruction. Not to everlasting life. But to destruction. No Jesus, no heaven. But when night falls, and when the windows of their souls closes, they are lost for eternity. Matthew 9:36, it says this. And this is speaking about the heart of our God. Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. There are sheep out there right now that have no shepherd. Lost souls who are helpless. And the only hope for a lost soul is to find a shepherd. To find a church to be a part of. To be fed the word of God. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. That's why we speak words. Because they have power and they have spirit to them. And Jesus said, referencing himself as the Son of Man, he said, I came to seek and save the lost. Lost people. And Jesus said, whoever hears my words and believes in them, they have crossed over from death to life. If you were simply to believe in God's words and walk according to them, you have everlasting life. See, shepherding is this relationship with those who are weak, meaning that we can't save ourselves. I have a coworker who thinks he's going to heaven, unfortunately, because he thinks he's a good person. And he references himself. He compares himself like, I don't kill anybody. I don't do all this bad stuff out there. Those are the people that deserve hell. And I witnessed to him. I'm like, listen, you need Jesus, bro. You know, you need Jesus. It's a relationship, but he's proud. He thinks by his own righteousness he could get there when he stands before God. But then he will know that, oh, your sins are before you. You need God's blood to cover your sins, to wipe away your sins. It's a relationship that's depending on one who's stronger. Jesus, who never sinned. He's our shepherd. He's the one that conquers sin and death. It's the relationship based on grace and mercy and trust and the tender care of love. Let me ask you this question. Have you entered into this relationship? Have you entered into God's grace and God's mercy? Have you put your trust in Him to watch over your soul? In the end, every soul must choose between death and life. Everybody makes the decision. If you choose, oh, and the default, I'm not going to make this decision, the decision is made for you, death. You can't just sit there thinking, I'm not going to play. No, everybody has the responsibility to find God in their life. To find everlasting life. And I thank God, man, He had grace and mercy for all my life. You know, you have friends and family and brothers and sisters who've gone astray. They're in their 30s. They're in their 40s. 50s, uncles, aunts, mother and fathers in 60s and 70s that still need Jesus. But God's grace is upon their life. God's mercy is upon their life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, the door and the true shepherd of our souls. I thank God that He saved my soul. And He could save yours. Amen. With that said, amen. I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen. Just to the...